You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Social welfare is an integral part of our society. It serves to provide for those in hard times a safety net that should be sufficient for families and makes up the social policy of Aotearoa. Yet many are critical of the system, its structure, and have been for quite some time. So in the early stages of where we are now, when COVID-19 was only a projection, already the flaws for what was about to happen were apparent. The state of welfare in this crisis and changes that need to be made. I reached out to Brooke Fiafia from Auckland Action Against Poverty on how she thinks the Ministry of Social Development is handling our welfare.
For those of us who haven't lived through crisis before, they're responding really well. For communities that we are in amongst and who we advocate for, it's kind of business as usual. I know that communities that have always lived in crisis continue to navigate the complexities of COVID-19 in ways that are just affected differently by this. Vulnerable communities, people who are living in spaces that are unsafe for them, such as like violence or domestic and sexual violence, people who are homeless, for them it's kind of exacerbated these conditions and forcing them to navigate in ways that are different to how they have been. Our welfare system has never been strong enough in looking after people who are already vulnerable. The crisis is exposing how fragile it is in certain spaces, and especially in the welfare space. And we actually need to make it fit for purpose to ensure that it's strong enough to handle the incoming numbers of unemployment that we're likely to see as a result of COVID-19.
Work and Income is fielding an unprecedented number of calls from people trying to access the Job Seeker Allowance, emergency food grants and wage subsidies. At the start of the month, there was an increase by 10,000, with 75,000 calls coming through in just 4 days. Here's Justin Lateef, a spokesperson from the Child Poverty Action Group, on what this has led to.
I think the problematic part of that has been the increase in unemployment and the increase for a lot of people in casual work, the increase in their vulnerability has meant that they are having to access our welfare system more, which has probably thrown up challenges in regards to the lack of adequacy that our welfare system currently provides, the inefficiency of the system, which means that people can be waiting up to a day or half a day just to get someone to talk to. It's exposed flaws that were already there, and it's really motivated us at Child Poverty Action Group to actually suggest that we need to reset how we deliver our welfare system.
So how do you think the Ministry of Social Development is handling this crisis?
Well, not well. I'm an economist, not a virologist.
This is Susan St. John, an associate professor of business and economics at the University of Auckland.
The system hasn't been working well before the crisis, so it's not unexpected that what's happened is leading to a situation where there's simply overwhelm. The design of the welfare system is such is that at last the failures of the welfare state are becoming apparent.
Today's welfare system is the product of decades of change. Susan caught me up with a crash course through the system's history.
Yeah, compress about 3 textbooks in 10 seconds. if we're just thinking about the welfare state in the post-war period and the heyday in the 1970s, where we had national superannuation introduced, a brilliant program for older people, we had accident compensation, we had the domestic purposes benefit, all funded through progressive taxation. And at that point, what was seen was that the welfare system was an underpinning social insurance scheme for people who would fall on hard times of one kind or another, whether it was old age, being unemployed, or being a sole parent, or being sick or disabled. The 80s, we had economic changes, we had the rise of neoliberalism and Reaganomics and so on. So by the time we get to 1991, the welfare state becomes something that's identified with being poor. So it's your fault. It's stigmatising, it's despised, and the benefits themselves were slashed in 1991 as a response to what was seen as the emerging recession of that time, completely the wrong and opposite economic policy to what we're seeing today. It just reflected the fact that beneficiaries were people who are the other, the outer, the ones that, you know, could be stepped on like that. Since that point of those cuts in 1991, the welfare system has gone backwards. The welfare benefits themselves have been indexed only to prices. So with the growth in living standards in general, people supported by welfare benefits have slipped further and further and further behind, many into really dark places of poverty traps where it doesn't matter if they earn a little bit extra, they can't work their way out because they're repaying debt that WINS will come along and take. Whatever they were getting by way of supplementary payments away when they earn extra, or if they have earned income and it's abated from a very low level at a very high rate. We've created this undercurrent of complete hopelessness within the welfare system.
We have this archaic view of welfare, and it really sort of might have made sense in the 50s.
This is Andrea Black from the Council of Trade Unions. They're advocating for changes to our welfare system, mainly around the system's relationship rules.
Oh, absolutely. That's the individualising the benefit system. Since about the 90s, with wages, you know, in real terms falling, the way households have stayed out of hardship is by both partners going to work and having paid work in some form. So when you have one partner losing their job, the idea that the other partner can just simply pick up the slack is not there when the other partner's income was needed to support the household. So we really think that the benefit system, people need to be seen as individuals. And I know that people like CPAG and such like have been calling that for ages. And, you know, we completely agree. It was in the Welfare Expert Advisory Group. And so it's absolutely vital that as we move into a world where what was two-income households that were needing both those incomes to support themselves and their families and stay out of hardship, that there is some form of income replacement for the other partner. Now, if we had had some form of social insurance set up, that would have already kept into place. In the same way, ACC is based on the individual and tax is based on the individual. I think everything's pretty much based on the individual except for the welfare system. So we definitely see it to be individualised, and absolutely all the recommendations of the Welfare Expert Advisory Group with the increases in the benefits are also necessary, because going back and looking at it, it was quite clear that at least $100 a week was needed for individuals, and at least $300-$350 was needed for couples that were in the welfare system. And so individualising and also raising the benefits.
Changes that were made have not been enough. Auckland Action Against Poverty is calling on the government to urgently lift benefits to livable levels.
Yeah, $25 isn't enough at all. I mean, no. We've been advocating to increase benefits to livable levels for a long time now. Well, we always said that these changes needed to be made even before COVID-19 had come through, in terms of looking at increasing benefit levels, ensuring that people have secure housing, that work and income has a culture that is supportive and redistributive. The Welfare Expert Advisory Group have made these recommendations as well, that they could have implemented a long time ago before this had even popped off. It's hard because they're not doing enough now, but also when you're forced to do something, when you're reacting to something, it means that you're less prepared and you're kind of always reacting instead of being proactive and planning and preparing for things like COVID-19.
The unprecedented inquiries due to COVID-19 has put strain on our welfare.
I mean, it needs to be a paradigm shift in the way the Ministry of Social Development designed our system. Firstly, benefit levels need to be adequate for for people to live with dignity. Instead of having a small amount of money that's your base and then allowing people to apply for extra grants, which creates the stress of having to continually be applying for more and more grants and then the debt that people get into. Instead, we need a benefit level that doesn't require the constant additions. We need entitlements to be individualised, so we need to get away from this idea that if you've been in a relationship for 6 weeks and you're suddenly considered to be married and so that your benefit levels actually drop as a result of that relationship. We need to treat people as individuals and also the idea that one income is enough to support a whole family is actually no longer the case, and everyone who would know that. So we need a system that reflects what common knowledge in society, and then we need to get rid of these things that are discriminating against people.
As both CPAG and AAAP point out, it's about dignity, not dependency.
It's really the idea that we need to treat people as citizens who we believe they can make meaningful contributions to our society, and not treating them as already as a problem or someone who that we're doling out money to. I mean, all our benefits, including superannuation right through to job seeker benefits, are things that we provide to people so that they are able to make good choices for themselves. But when a person is having to apply for a benefit and then having to get emergency grants and emergency accommodation help, that shows that we have a system that's really not giving people the opportunity to live with dignity and thrive. If we want a society that doesn't just survive the COVID-19 pandemic, but actually is able to thrive in a new normal that our world is going to be facing, we do need a safety net that reflects what sort of society we want. And that's a society where people are trusted to make the best choices for themselves and their families.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.